Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Oh, goodness. Yep. So today we've got a lot to
consider. Sure do, yep. Thoughts
on? Oh, you're
here we go.
Ah, there we go. Magic.
The magic of live radio.
My idea was just to keep talking at a louder and louder volume came through on yours.
Yeah.
That was my game plan.
Yep.
Okay, so much to cover. There's been a little bit of scandal this week.
Yes, there has. So, look, like, politics, ideally, is about us discussing ideas, debating them, putting them into policy, and then they affect people's lives, right? Like, that's ideally what we do in politics.
Yeah.
But there's also this whole broader set of questions about who leaders are, the leader's character, whether they're someone we like, whether they're someone we respect, whether they're someone that we think is, we would have a beer with or would be our mate. There's all of that component of politics. And so we're starting to see, you know, we've seen a couple of social media posts from Chris Hipkins' ex-wife. No one's reporting the content of them. They're unsubstantiated. They don't relate to crimes or illegal behaviour, but they do potentially speak to his character. She has framed them around gender-related dynamics as well. So basically it's one of those things where he's seeking legal advice, but I think we'll all probably, people will be watching that as a potential thing that might undermine his leadership. We have to remember as well, he is the leader of the Labour Party. They have traditionally, there's been a lot of feminism in the Labour Party around things like the family court sole parent benefit. They started the sole parent benefit woo. That was a great policy innovation 50 odd years ago. So there's those bits and pieces within Labour's DNA that make posts around gendered power dynamics by an ex-wife perhaps a bit more troubling than other parties.
Yeah, the interesting thing is she sort of framed it around Labour's policies as well and then sort of attacked each of those with personal anecdotes from their life together, which, gets into complicated territory in an election year of the role of sort of social media and scandal and how it's all going to unfold, eh?
Yep. And we've even seen it. This kind of reminded me a lot of the sort of, like, the issues around Tom Phillips. So, you know, there's things that people can't post for legal reasons or say for legal reasons, maybe, whatever. And then people go into the corners of Reddit, the Facebook comments, they go in there and they find things. We've also seen this in relation to when there's been, sort of name suppression and then that's all kind of leaked. So things happen on social media, people hear bits and pieces as well. And then that builds a bit of an idea of who someone is, and sometimes that's business disinformation, but that is part of our politics now. And you know, a lot of really kind of smart tech, AI, media type commentators, experts have been talking about the potential role of AI in this election because of the potential for someone to make, you know, a deep fake video or like spread a rumor that way as well. So I think we can broadly expect, and you know, most experts are expecting, like predicting this, some kind of AI techie information scandal online this election as well.
Wow, yeah, that's quite scary going into an election year. But I guess what, you know, going back to this sort of scandal with Hipkins, it's going to be really telling how he responds to it, because at the moment it's very much like he's not commenting on it, he's seeking legal advice, but it's sort of, going to change how a lot of people view his character in terms of how we move forward from this, eh?
Yeah, look, and when people have, I've read a bit of commentary on it, where people are talking about this issue is it's like, it's a little bit undermining, you know, the way that he's talked about this narrative of being like, there's a quote about him being great best friends with his ex, that kind of thing. And so that kind of makes him look like a bit of a liar in a sense, right? Although things happen in divorces, things happen, right? So we don't actually know what's happened, of course, as we always have to reassure people that, right? But it's like, when you think about it as well, National and the right aren't going to be able to touch this because it's one of those moral kind of scandals that you don't want, actually a lot of people don't want in our politics. So it's a tough line to tread for the opposition as well. I think people will just kind of like find stuff on Reddit and draw their own conclusions.
I feel like surely though we can expect some pretty out the gate commentary from the likes of Winston Peters or David Seymour on this, maybe.
I feel like
they'll play into the drama.
There's all of those things about glass houses and throwing stones.
Right.
This is the thing. Do we really? I mean, who knows, right? Because we all, and I mean, this is going back, you know, I mentioned the 70s before, but you know, like this is going back to like back in the day, there would be rumours. David Longy was the last Prime Minister where there was a lot of drama about him having an affair with one of his staff and actually marrying the woman and having a child later. So it's been a while since we've had one of these full-blown sort of scandals, or like one that's kind of bigger or more of this nature. Mm. They do happen, but again, I think New Zealand politics, people kind of view partners, kids as off limits to an extent, right? Mm. Like as much as possible. So yeah, it's hard because it's like it affects our political culture, but also some people's views of leaders and whether they like them. And because this leadership contest as well is an interesting one in that we don't have either leader that's super popular or super liked, or,
yeah,
you know, we don't have an Ardern, we don't have a Key, we don't even have anyone as likable as Bill English this time, believe it or not. And his pineapple pizza.
What does that say about the state of everything?
Speaking of the state of things, we should touch on fuel prices because it's insane out there.
It's really expensive.
Finance Minister Nicola Willis seems awfully chill about everything.
Yes.
And is sort of assuring us that we've got heaps of reserves and everything's all good, but fuel prices are soaring past $3 and it's feeling a little bit hectic. Should we be worried?
I'm personally worried. Just looking at, you know, like, I mean, I'm not an international relations expert, but I hang out with lots of them, I guess. I don't know, they're around. but, you know, like, and I read various things, right, is that, you know, there's obviously scenarios where the war continues, it expands, and so on and so forth. I've recently been asking a lot of people I know about what they would do in a war, and I assume I would do data, but, like, I'm like, man, should I become a nurse? I don't know whether we should become nurses to be useful. But anyway, like... It's one of those things where, you know, it's like, and people get quite shocked
when a
political scientist asks them what they would do in a war. That doesn't go down well in conversation.
Yeah,
that's actually quite concerning.
Yeah.
But in terms of this fuel stuff, you know, people have been talking about, should we be starting to have the things like the carless days? Again, 1970s keeps coming up. Mm. 1979, the carless days. Should we go back to that? Or should we be going more to actually people who can work from home? Should they be working from home now, just doing that now, like in the COVID days? I mean, should we be that cautious? So, because we've got this level system, just like the traffic light system with COVID. It's really calling back to those days. But at the moment, we're level one, and the minister's saying, you know, we need to wait till we're level two or three to panic more.
There's arguments that carless days didn't work.
Yes, there are.
But I feel like they are going to make a resurgence.
Well, I think probably what you can do, because, like, Stuff is in this great podcast series around the pandemic where they interviewed a lot of people and they were like, yeah, bring back the lockdowns. But what you could do is market it to people saying, you know, like the work-from-home people, the professional managerial class, the people who just do Zoom meetings all day anyway, say to them, like, head home for the lockdown, bake some sourdough or whatever and send them home. And that would be your first, like, just not big response. Because no matter what, we're going to need to obviously have the health workers and the people that need to physically go into work. But one thing that's missing a lot from these conversations, and I think it is because we have a national government, is actually people who are struggling economically anyway.
Mm.
And like I feel for students in that, because it's like I've got a student, a friend actually who's a student, who, you know, she lives, it's 2 hours public transport away, but she drives in every day. She has to live that distance from the uni for elder care and like whānau care reasons, right? And so is she going to be able to even come into the university if fuel prices go up and they're going up, right? So it's going to become unfeasible for her. That will have impacts on her education and the quality of her education and her ability to work.
Mm.
And so there's a whole bunch of people who are juggling multiple jobs, you know, multiple commitments that are kind of missing from this conversation because they're already struggling heaps anyway, right?
Mm.
And so, yeah, that will be the big question for me. I don't think this government will do any kind of targeted intervention or do much of anything because that's not been a priority group for them so far. Landlords have been. So
if we think about fuel prices going up, though, because we sort of saw a similar thing happen when things really kicked off with Russia and Ukraine, right?
Yeah.
How did the Labor government react then and what might go differently now?
Well, they didn't. There wasn't really that much of anything, right? Because we got that cost of living support payment. Some people got that through the IRD system, and that was quite controversial because there were a few errors or something. There wasn't anything specific that they did that would necessarily alleviate this. And that's, again, speaking to the fact that we have these two major parties that they call themselves, like, economic pragmatists. So they're not sitting there to structurally change things or do these big, huge interventions that really... Yeah, people can necessarily feel. So it's not necessarily that Labor have this whole big plan for this. And that's actually a key challenge to Barbara Edmonds as their finance spokesperson now. Even on my way here today, you know, I heard the RNZ political editor talking about the fact that, you know, they need to look like a government in waiting and they need to look like they've got a plan. So it's quite crucial for Labor now, with the Hipkins X social media posts, for Barbara Edmonds or someone to cut through the middle and say, this is what we would do, we would be, this is how, articulate, this is how we are different and this is what we would be doing. Mm. It's quite crucial for them to be able to do that now.
Yeah, well, we're speaking to Barbara Edmonds tomorrow, eh, so... We'll ask her what the plan is.
What's the plan, Barb?
Thank you so much, Lara, for joining us in person. This has been so much fun doing political commentary IRL.
Yes.
Everyone who's down here at the Tuesday Club can, of course, head over to the lovely Ruby from the Electoral Commission and update your voting enrolment status, your details. Ask any pātai you have about voting. It's important.
I should probably do that. I don't even know where I'm enrolled.
I just updated my address.
This is all I do for my job, and I never, like, I'm like, I think I'm on the Māori roll, but...
It's confusing out there, you know, it's confusing. So we're here to try and help how we can.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Lara. So nice to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you. Cheers.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.